Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It on WNYC. A play with a script but no rehearsal, a cast with a new addition every night, and a playwright who performs on stage but silently. These are the makings of Iranian playwright Nassim Soleimanpour's play, Nassim, which is currently running at New York City Center. The play has been translated into a dozen languages and performed in more than that many countries. This process of translation extends to the show itself, encouraging audiences to take a look at how language can be used as a point of connection rather than the root of misunderstanding. Nassim is running through Saturday, April 20th, so these are your last few days to check it out. I spoke to Nassim Soleimanpour about playwriting and about the unique theater experience. I began by asking him what he likes about this format of performance.
Well, it's like what's happening here. It's like life. Life knows no rehearsals. We just show up. We deal with things. I think that's my main interest. It takes us to the next level. With this certain subject, of course, it follows the previous shows that we've done with similar formats. The big difference is that normally we just have some papers, we put them in an envelope and we ask an actor just to show up and read it in front of a live audience. And of course the script would start directing the actor and even the audience to go on stage and do things. This production is a bit more complicated. It has technology involved and yeah, as you said, I'm around.
I'll describe for people. When you walk into the theater, it's three quarters and the stage is in the middle, and there is a microphone and a desk with a box. And that is all you see. And then an actor comes on. And this is one of the interesting points. It's a different actor every time.
Yeah, we have a different actor every night, and yeah, different genders, age, whatever. They know nothing about what they're gonna do. I don't meet with them before the show. They're not allowed to research. They're not allowed to, of course, come and see the show. And yeah, that's how the show starts.
How do you recruit the actors?
Well, it's the producers. They do that. But yeah, I've been doing similar things for a decade. We have a big fight club out there.
You don't talk about it, right?
Yeah.
Can you share some of the actors who have performed Nassim so far?
Oh my God. Like here in New York or like globally?
In New York.
Oh. We're talking about 70 so far. I mean, I've named,
70, wow.
Yeah, Mike
Kate Walsh
Shannon,
was one.
Yeah, Kate was there. Mike Shannon was there. Michael Urie was there. Kathy Najimy was there. It's like, it's huge. I name anyone, I miss some people, I feel bad.
No, that's okay. when they are first approached, what are some of the common questions they have? Or what is their first response about, you have to go out on stage, you don't know the script, you don't meet the playwright. You don't know who the director is.
Well, these are amazing people. I literally think they are, superhuman. You know, they're a cup of tea, because some actors might feel they don't want to do such things. They're all funny. They say things that you laugh. Yeah.
It's a little bit of flying without a net. And I feel like we as the audience, we're rooting for the actor.
Yeah.
There's definitely
totally
that sense
agree.
Of that.
That unifies us. We're all on the same boat.
Does the play, since you've seen it this many times with these many different actors, what elements of the play stay the same no matter who the actor is?
Mm-hmm. Well, I always describe it as it's a car. Okay. So the team, like us who prepared the show, we've designed the car. We've secured, we don't want any crashes, it's insured. And we know that we start from New York and we're going to New Jersey, okay? So if that is like the destination. So how, then we get a driver. Every new actor comes in, they're new drivers, and they pick how to drive, how fast they're going to go, if they're going to stop, what type of music they're going to play for us. You know, and that is how it changes. So, of course, we start from the same point. We check the stations that we should and we end where we should. Otherwise, the car is crashed and that's something that we don't want. But in between, we have lots of different, you know, tastes and approaches and stories, which keeps it even fun for us as the team who's working on the show.
If you wouldn't mind sharing a few instances that have happened during the show that were really either surprising to you or you just are memorable.
Oh my God, I have lots of funny stories. There is a point that the actor is asked to follow a line here in New York, it's a pink line. Mm-hmm. And it's just there. You see it on stage and they follow it and it takes them somewhere backstage. And it sounds very easy. You follow the pink line, no? But people get lost. People get excited. They cannot follow the line. As good as they are, this happens. The other funny thing that I remember happened in Australia, there is a point that you see a play button on stage. And yeah, if you play it, you know, you hear sound. And I remember that this actor, the play button popped up and this actor exits the stage.
Oh, he thought it was an arrow to
he
leave?
He thought it's an arrow to leave, which was really, really funny.
Yeah. My guest is Nassim Soleimanpour. His new play, Nassim, is at New York City Center and it's running through April 20th. So in this play, there are three people involved. There, you're involved. Well, actually, there's fourth. We'll call the audience a fourth person. You're involved. The actor is involved. And then later on, I don't want to give too much away, your mom becomes involved.
Yeah, Maman.
Maman. We learned how to say Maman in Farsi.
Maman is there, yeah.
But you're the only silent person. Why are you quiet? Why don't we ever hear you speak?
I was hoping you invite me to come here and talk to you. Well, no, the reality...
You're playing the long game.
The reality is I'm speaking to you through my words. I'm a playwright, mm-hmm. you know, and my words. I'm there, I'm around, and I still have a Sharpie. Every now and then I write, whether it's in Chinese or in English or in any other languages, I have my tricks. So, and then if, yeah, there is a point that you might hear my voice. We both know that we don't want to spoil mm-hmm. it. So, yeah, we keep it for the time.
Yeah.
We're patient.
We're not going to give too much away.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I had mentioned that this, and please correct me if I'm wrong, this has been done in several different languages,
yes,
correct?
Yes, a dozen. Yeah, 12, I think, so far.
And you speak Farsi, English, and German.
I speak Farsi, English, German, some Arabic, a bit of Kurdish, yeah.
What is it like to do this play in a language that you don't speak?
Oh, it's amazing.
Tell me about that.
That was, well, I mean, A is like it becomes more clown, you know, because I definitely know nothing. So I have to work so hard before we arrive. I have to study. I have to learn the alphabets. We've done it in Chinese, Japanese, you know, Hangul. Of course, Hangul and Japanese are more mm-hmm. doable. Chinese is almost impossible. And I have to memorize actors' names, like certain sentences, how to write them down, of course, with my Sharpie and a pen. But still, in the meantime, everyone is aware that I definitely don't understand what clearly is happening. An actor decides to ad-lib. I think like, okay, so the page is finished. I can flip, can go to the next page and we can... And then the whole room suddenly goes, oh, like, don't do that, you know? So it's the next level, I think. English is like home now. The Farsi should be my mother tongue, but it's easier to do it in English. And it's, yeah, amazing. Even here I'm learning new English words from the actors and the audience, which is amazing.
That's one of the interesting things about the play. So as the actors on stage, projected behind them is the script, and you are leaping through it, and the camera is photographing you leaping through it and writing notes to the actor. And part of it is this idea of us learning each other's languages. And you mm-hmm. ask at one point, you want to know a sophisticated word. That's what the script says.
Yeah.
The narrator would like to know a sophisticated word.
Yeah.
And you pull out a book that shows all the words.
We don't go to the details. Yes, I gather lots of words. That we can, yes.
Can you? Yeah, we won't give away because it's funny. We won't give it away. It's a good. It's interesting about our culture. This one word keeps repeating. What are some of the words that New Yorkers have given you?
Well, I mean, English language is like, I don't know, serendipitous is a mm-hmm. word that everyone wants to teach me.
Serendipitous.
and onomatopoeia is a word that everyone wants to teach me. These two words happen a lot. And in New York, there is another word which I don't spoil with
you. No, we won't.
But it's a very funny word.
The audience interaction, you're really rooting for this actor because they're flying without a net. But you also ask the audience to come up and have this sort of similar experience of having to learn on the fly, learn language on the fly. Why did you decide to include the audience in this piece?
I mean, to me, it's, I don't know who's the audience, who's the writer, you know, who is the actor. If you are writing a new word, which is part of the script, as you say, then you become the writer. You know, if I'm on stage now, then I became an actor, and I'm not an actor. I mean, I trap myself in my own play in a very funny way. So we are switching roles. And I understand that traditionally we are in this phase of denial, that we should turn off our phones, that you sit there, I imagine you're not there. But in reality, you are there and you have a cell phone in your pocket. You can talk, you can shout, you can volunteer to come on stage. Mm-hmm. And I think if we are like very friendly, inviting people, I've been told New York audience is like a bit distant, and I can tell you that's anything but distant to me. They're very loud. They want to participate. We ask for volunteers. We don't push anyone to come on stage, and it has never happened that we don't have volunteers to come and help us with the show.
My guest is Nassim Soleimanpour. The name of his play is Nassim. It is at New York City Center. You know, obviously the show is scripted because it's a play, and you have to stay on track, but there are moments of improvisation and moments when it could take different twists and turns. And one of them is you ask the actor to share pictures on the phone. Have you ever gotten into a difficult situation, or is there something similar about the pictures? What have you noticed about what are pictures pop up?
I have my own protocols, so there's things that, like, of course, I don't flip if you don't allow me, but I might tease you. I might go for, like, may I flip, you know, and you're like, no.
You slide, slide the picture.
one of the things that we often do, I don't know if it happened, the show that you watched, is like I try to investigate the photos. Like, you show me a photo and I zoom in and I find a funny guy. Like last night, I remember there was a wedding photo from one of the actors, lovely, beautiful wedding photo. And I zoomed in and I found the photographer in a mirror, you know, and we laughed a lot. They haven't noticed themselves, the couple. When they came backstage, we talked and they're like, we didn't notice that he's there in the mirror. So it's like, things that we do on Facebook. It's just like live in front of you. Yeah.
But it's so interesting, the moment with the actress yesterday. You swipe through, and she said, they're all going to be of Abraham, this adorable little boy.
Yeah, who was really adorable.
Such a funny moment. Like, she knows her phone is full of pictures of Abraham.
And that tells us a lot about her, no?
Yes, exactly, exactly. My guest is Nassim Soleimanpour. The name of his play is Nassim. It's at New York City Center until April 20th. Do you plan to continue to tour with this?
Yes, so we would be here till, April 20. Then we immediately go back to Canada because we already did Toronto. We do Edmonton, Vancouver, festival in Quebec, and then go back to Europe to Manchester. So, we would be on tour for a few years.
And you have another project going with Audible?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes. Well, they very kindly, they started the theater department. They've announced the first 15 playwrights and now another 15 playwrights, if I'm right with the numbers. And I promise to give them a play, and I'm working on it. I'm very excited. It's a radio play. Yeah.
What do you hope people take away from this particular show?
I hope we become friends. I hope we become closer. Yeah, I hope we laugh a lot. Sometimes I count. Like every show, we might laugh over 100 times. And it's very common that people go out while their eyes are wet. So I hope, we get closer.
All right. I remembered how to say neke. Bodo?
Yeki boot.
Yeki boot? And what's the second line again?
Similar to that, yeki.
Yeki.
Nabut.
Nabut.
That's Once Upon a Time.
Once Upon a Time. We all learn to say that if you go see the show. The name of the show is Nassim Soleimanpour. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much,
in
Alice.
Studio. This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you so much for spending part of your day with me. We will see you here next time.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.